to truly be saved in Jesus Christ is, Jesus, I am not Lord. You are Lord. You are ruler. I'm done driving my car in life. I've messed it up. I'm miserable. This isn't working. Here's the keys. You take over. You, I confess you as Lord. The Bible says when you do that, you shall be saved.
It is our last message today in our series here on Live in the Light from Isaiah 53, and we have been walking through the prophecy of Christ's death and his glorious resurrection. So happy Easter, Live in the Light family. Hey, if you've missed any of these messages, please take the time and go back and listen. You can do that wherever you listen to podcasts or on our website at liveinthelight.ca. We make these resources available to you so you can go back again and again and remind yourself of the life-changing truth of the gospel. That's why we're here. That's why we're on your speakers or we're in your headphones. We want you to hear regularly what Scripture actually says. We're going right to the source, to who Jesus is and what it says in the Word of God. Today's message is the most powerful truth that there is. Our sinless Savior died and was brought back to life. He paid the price for sin so we didn't have to. God sent his Son because he loves us so much that he didn't want to spend eternity without us. Isaiah 53 was written hundreds of years before Jesus was even born, and it tells us with incredible detail about Jesus' last days up into the cross. Today, we're talking about what that sacrifice was and about the victory we have in Jesus. Maybe you don't know why he died. Maybe you don't know what that has to do with you. Friend, I encourage you to open your Bible today to Isaiah 53 and listen closely. Here's Pastor Robbie.
It says here in verse 11, the servant shall see and be satisfied. What an interesting phrase, eh? So in my Bible, there's a footnote beside the word see. He shall see, and the footnote is, or light. He shall see light. Jesus Christ came as the light of the world. Our world is very dark. You feel that? I feel that every day. Our world is very dark. Jesus Christ came into the darkness of the world to shine his world-changing light. This is why Jesus says in John chapter 8 on the screen for you, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Who's that for today? You come in here, you are filled and shrouded in darkness. There's despair and loneliness and grief. There's misery, there's pain, there's loss, there's no answers. You're searching for identity. You're trying to find what the heck you're doing on this world. Why am I here? Why am I so unhappy? Because darkness comes to and promises you everything, but delivers nothing. Jesus Christ says, I am the light of the world, and he is the only one who's the light of the world. Whoever follows me, believes in me is what he means, shall not walk in darkness, the promise, but have the light of life. The power of the gospel, the good news, the power of Easter, why Jesus Christ came. But notice, he shall see his light and be satisfied. Why is he satisfied? Why does Jesus Christ see what he has done? Why is he satisfied? Here's why, because he loves to set sinners free. Jesus Christ loves walking into a spiritual prison and obliterating and smashing down the prison doors and saying, child, you are free, you may go. Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, he quotes Isaiah 61, he says, I have come to set free the captives. I have come to recover the sight of the blind. I have come to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Essentially, he's saying, I have come to set free those who are enslaved to sin and darkness and death and Satan. This is why he came. And Jesus loves to smash down prison doors to those who are held in bondage to sin and Satan and the dreadful fear of death. This is his purpose. This is why he came, and this is what he loves to do. He was satisfied to see his work accomplished, and he's satisfied today as more lives are changed here and across this world on this wonderful Resurrection Sunday. But notice what it says in verse 11 too. This phrase really stood out to me. His purpose is to, says, quote, make many to be accounted righteous. What does that mean? How would you maybe explain that just on your own? How does he make many to be accounted righteous? It's a legal term that's being used now, or a judicial term. What's happening here is the servant, listen to this, man, if you get this, your life could change, so be careful. He says the servant will credit his righteousness to the account of sinners. But how does he possibly do that? How does he credit his righteousness to the account of sinners? Well, look at verse 11 at the end. It says, he shall bear their iniquities. He shall take on their sin. So what we're learning here, 700 years before Jesus even born, 733 years basically before Jesus was crucified and raised from the dead. We're learning here, right here, the servant of the Lord Messiah, Jesus, will debit our account of our sin and credit our account with his righteousness. I mean, what a transaction that is. And by the way, I'm not sure if you understood that, but I'm thankful I got my trusty jerseys here with me today, which is so helpful. So these things are always a blessing. So this is going to represent the righteousness, the perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, I have come to make many to be accounted as righteousness. So this is Jesus in perfection, his full righteousness. If you have this, you are fully innocent, completely righteous again by him. Let's just put this here and say that represents the Lord Jesus Christ. And then this represents the rest of us, okay? Sorry to break bad the news, but all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The Bible says, Romans 3:23. If you're here today and you don't think that you sin, man, just ask anyone who knows you more than for about 3 minutes, okay? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The problem is we can't save ourselves from our sin. This is our status. Romans 6, the wages of sin is death. So all human beings who have ever lived, and we all prove it every day. Last time I sinned was this morning, you know, not even a few minutes ago, probably. Who knows? It's just like my heart is just evil and wicked. I need Jesus Christ. All have sinned. This is what Jesus Christ came to do. He came to debit our account of our sinfulness. Jesus Christ takes our sin upon him. And then what we get in exchange is we are given his righteousness as a credit to our account. This is the gospel. This is the great exchange. When you understand this is why he came, you're like, wait a second, he gets all my sin, I get all his righteousness? Yes, a judicial legal declaration of innocence. It's a courtroom turn. Guilty, innocent. This is why Jesus Christ came. Which jersey are you wearing today? Jesus Christ wants to give you that you are on team righteousness, not being anything we did. This is zero of what we did, zero. You have to know that. We did this, death and sin. 100% righteousness is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. The astounding deal that we are offered in the gospel by faith again and the understanding of the love of Jesus Christ upon our lives. So a Bible verse that says this perfectly, 2 Corinthians 5:21, take a look. This is what it says here. For our sake, God the Father made him, God the Son, Jesus. For our sake, God made Jesus to be sin, who knew no sin, because Christ was sinless, unlike us. So that in Jesus Christ, in him, we might become Jersey righteousness. We might become the righteousness of God. This is the great exchange. This is the gospel. This is Good Friday. This is Easter. This is why Jesus Christ came. This is what he was sent to do. This is what is offered to us again today for those of us who desire to be saved from sin and to be declared righteous, all because of what Christ has done. Now, if you look at verse 11 again, very, very, very important, near the end of verse 11, notice it says, he will make many to be accounted righteous. Notice, many, not all. That's important. Many, not all. So what we learn here, everyone here today, friends, not all will be counted righteous. Some, not all. So the question I would have then right now is, well then, what's the difference? How do I receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ? Meaning, in other words, how am I forgiven of all my sins, past, present, and future? How do I receive the gift of forgiveness? The Bible's so clear. How do I receive the gift of forgiveness? We receive the righteousness of Christ by faith and only faith. I am forgiven of all my sins by believing that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of the world, sent to die for my sins, to be raised from the dead, thereby defeating death. Some of you, again, maybe a lot of us here today, I want to be as clear as I can. Many came in today and you've simply believed a false gospel your whole life up until now. So many. Different religious places you've been a part of, things that you see on TV, whatever it might be. You believe that, and you may not be that religious, but you're like, yeah, but I believe good person. In the end, God will look at me versus others. I'm like, yeah, you're good enough. Come on in, right? You believe something like that. Good deeds, good person. Not in the Bible. That is absolutely not true. That is a false gospel, false teaching. Satan loves that because you will not be saved in that way. You say, well, what do you mean? What do you mean? Well, let me again. Let's put Galatians 2:16 on the screen here for you. This some of you have never been taught this in your entire life. And I pray today this changes. You will see the clarity of the Bible. Okay? This is massive. There's so many people believe you're justified by what you do. No. You are declared righteous by being good. No. We'll never be good enough. Look what the Bible says. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. Again, by the way, you get a Bible after the service and go look it up. Make sure you know I'm not making this stuff up. This is Galatians 2:16. You go yourself, study it, learn it, right? Make sure. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith. Oh, there it is. Faith, believe, faith in Christ Jesus and not by works, just in case you missed it the first time. And not by works of the law, because by works of the law, no one, thank you for the clarity there, Paul, no one will be declared righteous or justified is what that means. Now, just to get a little more, let's go to the next part of the slide here. Ooh, that got a little busy right there. All right, here we go. But I want us to understand, okay? Okay, look what's happening here. Yet we know that a person is not declared righteous by works of the law. So works here, good deeds, being a good person, so many people believe that. Oh, I'm better than the person beside me. Notice this, but you're actually justified righteous through faith in Jesus Christ. What's faith? Jesus died for my sin, I believe that. Jesus rose from the dead, I believe that. Jesus is Lord and Savior, I believe that. That's what it means to have faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified righteous by faith in Christ. Look at this, eh? Hey, I'll take care of my righteousness. No, you will not take care of your righteousness. It's what I do, no. In Jesus, in Christ. Look at that, it's so abundantly clear. Not by works of the law, because by works of the law, No, I'll do it. No, you won't. You will not be the first person ever to justify yourself by what you do. No, you won't. No one will be declared righteous on their own by good works, being good person, good deeds, whatever it might be. It's only by faith in the work of Jesus Christ that we can have the jersey to be declared righteous by everything he has done. We access this by faith in Jesus Christ. Again, some of you are here right now. This is the first time you've ever been clearly taught this. If you embrace it by faith, your life will never be the same again. It's not you. It's not me. It's Jesus. You must believe in Jesus and love Jesus and follow Jesus, because that's what the person who's been forgiven of any and all sin does. They are so overwhelmed with gratitude because they've been given everlasting life. They're not in darkness, now they're in light, the resurrection and the life, and now they pursue with their entire being Jesus Christ, because he is the Savior of the world and he has set them free from death and sin and Satan itself. It must be received by faith. So we're learning here again in Isaiah 53 verses 10 to 12, from his death comes life, from his sacrifice comes righteousness, and thirdly, from his weakness comes victory. From his weakness comes victory. So look at verse 12. You know what we're doing? Just one verse at a time, going through the Bible, explaining it, illustrating it, and then applying it. So now we're at verse 12, right? That's helpful. Verse 12, therefore I will divide him a portion with the many. He shall divide the spoil with the strong. Why? Because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession. He prays for the transgressors. So without question, look at the first part of verse 12, speaks to the reward that will be given to the Messiah. Because of what the servant of the Lord, the chosen one, Jesus Christ did, his suffering, his death, he will be rewarded for his faithfulness. So when you see in verse 12, he shall divide the spoil, the spoils go to the victors. This speaks of the victory and the spoils of victory that will go to Jesus because of his faithfulness to the plan of love sent by God the Father to die for us. It's so interesting to me, right? Because it was the awful darkness of Good Friday that led to the glorious light of Easter Sunday. Philippians chapter 2, that's another epistle in the New Testament written by Paul. Philippians chapter 2 says it was because of the very death of Christ on the cross that he was exalted to the highest possible place and given the name above every name. That's what it says. His very humiliation and death led to his incomprehensible exaltation as the King of Kings, as the victor over life and death itself. So this is why the resurrection is massive today. And each time on Easter Sunday, or at least, you know, most years, we just take a moment and we try to help ourselves understand. It's like, well, why is the resurrection so important? What did the resurrection accomplish? Here's what the resurrection accomplished. The moment Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, the moment he is raised from the dead, that guarantees that the Father accepted payment in full for all sin for those who trust in Jesus Christ. Payment for sin was made in full. If the Father did not accept the payment of sin on the cross, Jesus Christ was never raised from the dead. The resurrection is the receipt of paid in full. The moment Jesus Christ is resurrected from the dead, Jesus was victorious over death. We saw that, Romans 6. He will never die again. The moment he is raised from the dead, sin, Satan, and death are forever defeated. Man, it is absolutely certain. They are all ruined. And the moment Jesus Christ returns, we will see that in perfection. The resurrection guarantees now for Christ followers, believers, genuine believers, guarantees my forgiveness and my righteousness. Guarantees it, not by me, but he did. Guarantees that. Guarantees I will reign in heaven with Jesus Christ forever. Guarantees that. It guarantees that the believer will receive a perfected, resurrected body when Jesus Christ returns to gather his own. Man, can you imagine the day of a resurrected body? So 2 weeks ago, man, I woke up, I did nothing. I put my back out as bad as I ever remember. I couldn't walk, man. I was crawling around in such pain. So just like a couple of days ago, just finally felt a little bit normal. I'm just sitting there. It's like, what is it? Like last weekend I woke up and all of a sudden coming into church to preach, my back is killed. I wore a back brace last weekend when I was preaching. And then I was, oh yeah, nerve damage in my forearm all of a sudden. What's going on? Burning sensations. I got arthritis in my knee and my hands all swollen, whatever. I'm just like, man, this is getting pretty bad. I am longing for the day. By the way, those of you who are young, you're like, whatever, old man, you know, I feel great. Your turn's coming. For those that are older than me, you're like, tell me about it, bro. You know what I mean? Or even worse. The whole point is, man, the day is coming because Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. You will have a resurrected body that will not even be close to being touched by any weakness or pain or difficulty or arthritis. No backs out in heaven, praise God. There'll be no cancer. There'll be nothing like that. It'll be absolutely perfection because this is what Jesus Christ received the moment he was raised from the dead. So what is all this here? All of this is this. It's the spoils of victory. This is the spoils that go to the victor, Jesus Christ, listen, and all those who belong to him. That's what the resurrection guarantees. So 1 Corinthians 15, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory again in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's always in the Lord Jesus Christ. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory, the spoils of victory. This is why the resurrection is everything, everything. Without the resurrection, there's no hope. By the way, this is why our church is called Hope Bible Church. Our logo is the empty tomb being unveiled. This is why we're here. It's the hope of the resurrection for everlasting life. And listen. Again, maybe you're here today, you're visiting. So many visitors, so glad you're here. It is the resurrection of Jesus Christ that absolutely, without a doubt, sets Christianity apart from every other religion in history. Only the Christian faith has a God who would send his son in love to die for the sins of his very creation, to be raised from the dead, defeating death forever. No other religion comes close. Christianity is set apart. It was interesting. It was the Canadian scientist, G.B. Hardy, one time said this, and maybe you relate. He says, when I looked at religion, I said, I have two questions. First, has anybody ever conquered death? And second, if they have, did they make a way for me to conquer death? I checked the tomb of Buddha, it was occupied. I checked the tomb of Confucius, it was occupied. I checked the tomb of Muhammad, it was occupied. And I came to the tomb of Jesus, and it was empty. And I said, there is one who conquered death. Then I asked the second question, did he make a way for me to do it? And I opened the Bible and discovered that Jesus said, because I live, you shall live also. This is the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ that sets him apart from any other person who ever, ever lived. So as we end today, I want you to consider maybe the following questions. Why would the servant of the Lord suffer the way he did? Why would he do this? Why would he submit himself to such torture and sacrifice and anguish? Why would the Messiah do that? Or why would Jesus Christ surrender himself to a criminal's death, to be hung on a cross and brutally, viciously mocked, to be murdered by his very creation? Why would he ever do such a thing? What could possibly be his motivation? There's only one answer to these questions, and it's really answered in one specific word. It's love. The only possible reason that the servant Messiah, the chosen one, Jesus Christ, would come and suffer the way he did and bear the punishment of our sin in our place, to drink the cup of wrath from God the Father again upon him in our place, the only reason that makes any sense is love. John 3:16 on the screen for you. Maybe you know this verse. For God so loved the world. This is why Easter happened and Good Friday happened, because of love. Listen, God loves you. For God so loved the world, he gave his son. Now you can read that, like he gave his son. But what does it mean? He gave his son to die. He gave his son as the Lamb of God. He gave his son to be sacrificed. He gave his son to bear our sins. It's all over Isaiah 53. It's all over scripture, everywhere. He gave his son to suffer in our place. He gave his son to bear the penalty that we deserve. He gave his son to live and to die. Notice, for God so loved the world, he gave his son, that whoever believes, it's not whoever does works for him in their own declared righteousness. No. Whoever's a good person. No, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. Whoever does good deeds on a daily basis, it doesn't say that, because it's not in the Bible. But it does say whoever believes in him, whoever believes in Christ, whoever places their faith in Jesus Christ, look at the promise now, will not perish. You will never die again. You will never die again. This is the promise. Why? Because he loves you. He sent his son to die for you. That when you believe in Jesus Christ, what he did for you, that you will never die. He gives life to you and you will have everlasting life. You go from team death to team righteousness. Once and for all, always, always, never to be taken from you. This is the power of Friday. This is the power of Easter Sunday. Jesus Christ says, I'm the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And then he says again, do you believe this? In front of you in the chairs, we put these Easter with hope cards here. And on the back, there's an opportunity for you. If the Lord is working in your life today, and I want to believe today for the first time here upstairs, family room, Orangeville, there are people here for the first time. You have never seen with this clarity Jesus Christ, his life, his death, his resurrection, and there is faith being ignited by the Holy Spirit in your life. And you desire to be saved from sin. You desire everlasting life. You say, Robbie, how do I do that? How do I do that? How do I do that? It's as easy as ABC. A, admit you're a sinner. It has to start there. Admit you're a sinner. Because if you don't admit you're a sinner, why do you need to be saved then? We need to be saved from sin. It makes a separation between us and God. A, admit you're a sinner. B, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe he's the Son of God. Believe he's the Messiah. Believe he was sent to die. Believe he suffered for your sins. Believe he was raised from the dead. A, admit you're a sinner. B, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. C, confess him. Confess him as Lord and Savior. To truly be saved in Jesus Christ is, Jesus, I am not Lord. You are Lord. You are ruler. I'm done driving my car in life. I've messed it up. I'm miserable. This isn't working. Here's the keys. You take over. You, I confess you as Lord. The Bible says when you do that, you shall be saved. When you admit you're a sinner, believe in Jesus, confess him as Lord, the Bible says if that's real, you will be saved. If that is you today, on the back of this card, there's a spot to fill your name, phone number, email, and there's one of three boxes there. First one is, I received Jesus Christ today. The second one is, I want to know more about Jesus. The third one is, I want someone to contact me. I encourage you now, I encourage you after the service, I encourage you at some point, obviously before you leave, that if the Lord is working upon your life and heart, you will indicate on that card where the Lord is working, and then we will love you. We will reach out to you and we will walk with you. That's why we are here. This church exists to see lives change for the glory of God. This Easter 2024 could be the first day of the rest of your life, never to die again. Because for the first time, you've seen Jesus, you believe in Jesus, you love Jesus, you give your life to Jesus. He loves you. Wow, does he love you? Let's pray, church. Let's pray together. Father, we have been asking thousands of prayers have been offered to you this week that you would change lives. Why? Because every life changed is a life that now brings you glory. So Father, I appeal to you based on your promise that you will pour water on thirsty land, that you will pour streams on dry ground. I hold you to your word. And so I pray right now, there are men and women and children here that are thirsty. Maybe for the first time ever, they are thirsty. And you will pour water upon their souls, and you will save them from death, and you will grant them everlasting life. Father, do it. Every life changed is a life that, again, gives you glory. If that is you today, the Bible says today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. If that is you today, Jesus, I believe you. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I need you to save me from my sins. Jesus, I ask you will give me everlasting life. Jesus, I don't want to drive anymore. You drive. I'm done. You are Lord. I give my life to you. And if that prayer is sincere, then you can have such faith and confidence that you've received everlasting life. You are part of the offspring of Jesus Christ, and you will never die again. Life in Christ is not easier, it is actually much harder, but is infinitely better. And you have every hope and purpose for life for the rest of your days. Yes, Lord, work in our midst. I pray, thank you for this service. We pray for the next services coming that you will use today in such a powerful way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Hey, Robbie Simons here. Listen, I want to just speak to you personally right now. If you've been listening to this message today and the Lord Jesus Christ is working specifically in your heart and you are being led to give your life to Jesus Christ by grace through faith and trusting in him for salvation, that you might never die again, but you might live forever, we would love, love, love for you to reach out to us so we can help you, we can pray for you, and we can know that today was the day that your life changed forever, that you've been saved in the gospel of Jesus by admitting your sinner, believing in Jesus Christ as Savior, and confessing him as Lord. Please reach out to us at liveinthelight.ca. Again, that's liveinthelight.ca. And whatever way works for you, we would love to hear from you. One of our team pastors, again, would talk to you, connect with you, allow you to be connected to a church to start the process of discipleship. Again, this is such an important time. So if the Holy Spirit's working in you, you have eyes of faith and you believe your life has been changed today, again, through Jesus Christ, let us know at liveinthelight.ca. We pray many people have been saved today. We pray many people will know Jesus and live forever. You are so loved, and we look forward to hearing from you at liveinthelight.ca.